Perfect. So you're welcome to mute yourself and unmute yourself. Whatever makes most sense. Just know that whenever we're talking in the Zoom chat, the screen will move to whoever's has the most noise or movement going on. As a matter of fact, actually, I'm gonna mute all for a little bit before we have some space to get in there. And then you can unmute yourself if anything. Welcome. I'm so excited about this class. There's some topics where I'm like, and then there's others like, we're gonna talk about this shit. We're gonna talk about this shit now. Because time is in a very linear way passing. And so for me, this becomes even more real after my mother's passing last week. And recognizing how harmful this particular struggle is for folks. For myself, I grew up with a mother who was very much about, what are they gonna say? And even as a kid, I had like this huge resistance to they, them, whoever the people are, they are so strong that they can actually kind of have a say in things that they probably shouldn't because they're not even around, which is really fascinating. So I wanna kind of open this space. Earlier, I had some of my incense burning and just really present with what does it mean for us of diverse lineages or intersectional lineages to come to this conversation, and what does it mean to heal that for our ancestors as well, because we stand in the space of that, the future, the, you know, like kind of that whole multidimensional joint. And so as I lit the incense, all I could think about was the sweetness of liberation when you realize that you no longer, like, you're like, wait a minute, something happens to me when I'm around people or when I'm in large groups, or if I think a person away, something happens to me that shifts my entire like being. And I find myself saying yes or doing things that I really wouldn't otherwise do or probably need more time to think about anyway. And then it just, you know, people pleasing moves in so many ways and it's very clever. So it's time to break the spell. And the reason why I use this, the language of spell, is because it actually is a well-constructed way. It has language, it has like ritual, it has a form and a shape that's consistently perpetuated. Right. And so in order to change the power dynamic of that energy, we have to recognize it in all the dimensions for what it actually is. And so part of this masterclass is really like looking at some of those pieces and being able to name that for ourselves. There's not a one size fits all. There never is a one size fits all. And so if you know anything about my classes or know anything about my practice, like my shit is like, well, each of us have a different experience with it and are coming from a different place. And so there is this work, this like devotion that's required from you and intention to figure out where these things are showing up in your life and to like unmask them. And I literally imagine that as being something like, aha, you know, I found out, aha, got you. Because when you do that for yourself, you're like, oh shit, you're able to get to the underbelly of what's happening and kind of reframe, bring ease to the parts of yourself that need tending and haven't gotten that. And then also reframe the belief system around it. So I suggest you have paper and pen ready and just whatever rings a bell later on, you get the recording afterward. And actually give me kind of like a window of time between it downloads, then I go to bed, then the next day, fill in the blank. But you'll get the recording and then you can listen to it over again. I also want to take this moment to honor both the present and where we're going in this conversation. And I ask for all the angels and all the dimensions and all the directions to be with us and present for us a liberation that we dream of. And also our well ancestors, we name and presence them because I think as folks moving in a world that has all these binaries around so many things, it's very easy to get trapped. And sometimes we can look at our ancestors or our elders and be like, what the flipping flapjack were you thinking? And why did you even perpetuate that oppression? And like, it didn't feel good to you. Why are you giving it to me? And why are we living by this thing? And it's also to recognize that their context was significantly different, in a way that I can look at my mother and my grandmother and be like, what the hell were they thinking? And they were like radical, powerful women in their time. And still, I remember my grandmother pulling my ear because I told the neighbor's kid in from her building, there was this grandkid, only grandkids came to the building, and teenagers that were leaving the building, because that's, she lives on Prospect, Ocean Avenue, across the street from Prospect Park. So elders tend to like stay there long in the building. And I remember her pinching my ear because I told the kid not to tell me what to do. And he got upset because we were playing a game. He got upset. And my grandmother literally like grabbed my hand, crossed the street with me, and was pinching my ear because she was concerned about what his grandmother was going to say in the building about her granddaughter. Right. And so like, even then I understood that. And I was like, I don't care. I'm gonna kick him in his face. That's what's going to happen. Right. And my grandmother's so angry because I wouldn't settle down. And so I want to honor the path that they've walked, because it's complicated, because it's actually an enormous amount of access that's been granted to us in this generation to even be able to talk about this or recognize it. They didn't have the same access or the same language or the opportunity to say, this is actually what's happening to me. I don't like, they just knew like if they didn't like shit, they got voted off the island, right? And that's costly when you're trying to survive, very costly. And so I wanna honor their memory, and I wanna honor my mother, Vilma, who the last year and a half that we spent together, we spent a lot of time kind of, my job was to support her as a daughter, but more so our relationship was a friendship and a sisterhood. And there was a very pressing need for me to support her in her clearings around shit that she's been holding on to or ways of being that she's accepted as the norm, so that she can find peace between living a life of contradiction and resistance, and who she is as a person. Some of us say we're fighters. I don't know necessarily that we want to take on that mantle, because we deserve ease and rest as well. We deserve to know what it means to just be in our beingness, because the fight can be endless. And my mother fought till her last breath, right? And so I honor what she's deposited and the challenges of also coming from a background that was very abusive, and abusive because there was such a fear around what people would think and or say. So I got more beatings out of the them than out of any other subject in my life. Like, my mom used to ream me because people fill in the blank. So I want to honor all that, the intensity of that and the intersection of that, and ask that our spirit guides and our like our plant family, our tree family, our earth family, like all that encapsulates what is our being, would support us in this work. And as you continue to unfurl and I continue to unfurl, may we be well supported. And there's a difference between like being well supported and knowing that you are well supported. And my prayer is that we know that we're well supported. So there's that very sexy like introduction. And so I said this kind of in the copy of the stuff, like this class. You know, I'm recovering from it. It's a recovery process. It's not, it's like a practice. The same way it took years to condition this response and this reaction, it takes years to kind of dismantle and unpack those reactions in yourself and replace them with ones that are more generative for you and for us. And so I actually, you know, people rather enjoy my potty mouth because I enjoy fucking around with any particular convention or languaging around things. And I've noticed people respond a way when people say I give zero fucks. And it's usually entertaining to me because, it's more about, it seems to be more about caring, that somebody saying that it translates as I don't care, than it is about the amount of agency it takes to say that the amount of energy I'm going to deposit in your, like, in otherness, in other people's definitions of things, I'm actually revoking that power, right? So I don't have any more fucks to give. If I'm gonna give a fuck, I'm gonna give a fuck about the things in my own life and, like, tending to things, because I have no control over you or your perception, which goes against the idea that you know a book by its cover. And it goes against the professional, like, mantras and ideas around, like, oh shit, like, you know, it takes a couple of seconds of first impression. Yes, it does. And that's not the only thing that a relationship is built out. If you want relationship quality versus interaction or exchange, right? Like, there's a difference between how we're trying to move in this world and how we've been conditioned to, and the language we use around it. So are some people still going to judge you away? Yeah. Who are you living for? What are you living for? What are your commitments? And I have to ask myself that every time I'm around a different set of people. I'm like, what's my commitment is, I do not have the energy to nurse your perception and live my life. I mean, I can multitask, but that's not how I want to live. Like, that means my energy is dispersed. And with the idea of magic and intention, right? So magic is life force. It's incredible what we do when we're full of passion, right? Passion becomes this container to move energy. And that's why the language of magic is important in this conversation, because if I continue to share from places where I'm considering you, how this may land on you, how this may land on you, I just disperse pieces of my energy and my focus in those places. And then I'm berating myself why I can't focus. I'm in a place because I'm actually not in my body. I'm with you. I'm with that other person. I'm wondering what the hell this other person's thinking about me. I heard what this one thought about me. So, you know, I just got to make sure that I'm, like, watching. When you're doing that, you are actually creating this very detached and disassociative pattern within yourself, right? And so we want to get to the bottom of those things, because we need to, in order to do the things that we came here to do, and we all have a piece in this healing, and we all have a piece in this kind of dynamic, it's going to be imperative that we get clear about what matters most, and that we can actually do that in the moment rather than, like, I don't know how. Listen, my daughter and I, we have had 1,000 conversations about, like, after the engagement or after the moment, then you're like, oh, I should have said, or I should have done, or, like, you shit on yourself so much. And it's really interesting that the end of that dynamic is, like, your equation is that there's something wrong with you. Never that what is going on in a group setting or outside of yourself, or what is going on in that relationship, that you are instantly relinquishing your power and your agency. Right? Like, we don't do that. We're like, I gotta stop being such a people pleaser. And then you shit on yourself, and then you freeze, like, you do self-harm in order to punish yourself for being sensitive, or for fill in the blank, whatever is the language that you're using to further affirm your inadequacy outside of yourself. And so people pleasing has these very, and this is what it evolves. It's really smart. It gets really, like, the language gets really tricky, right? And you find other ways in your life where you become, like, I don't know, it's almost like the pieces fall apart every time you're either around this person. It could be family. It could be a group of people. Like, the minute you step into a room, your anxiety starts doing this. You know that it's anxiety, but you're not quite aware of how unconsciously it's starting to trigger so much. And then you're in reaction mode. You're either freezing, or you get so overwhelmed that, and I have family that does this, they go extra. And we'll go like, what is happening right now? And they're like, you know, they're like, their voice gets louder, their energy gets more frantic. And I'm like, what's happening? Because I freeze. My mode is to freeze. And their mode is to go, like, to trying to do something with the amount of tension and energy they feel. So then they go the most. And then they feel like shit for going the most. which is so sad for us, right? It's like, wow, you can't even really be yourself. And then you don't even know what yourself is, because when you're around fill in the blank, your sense of self becomes distorted, right? So I want to backtrack just a little bit, because what I want to talk about a bit, which is really important, I want to talk about trauma and this particular aspect of like people pleasing. And the reason why I want to talk about trauma is because I want to talk about how I was looking at images that I was looking to share, but I'll pass on that. You know, that whole like you use somebody's image, you got to make sure you give credit, and you got that, all that drives me nuts. If I could draw it, I would draw it. But otherwise, I'm like, okay, I'll pass on that. But to really get a vision for what the reptilian brain, which I hate that word, because I'm like, but what they're saying is primal, right? They're talking about our primal sense of safety, of protection. So there's that part of your brain, right? And then you have the part of your brain that's emotional, that's responsible for emotions. And then you have the part of your brain that's logical. And what's happening is that if you've experienced trauma around belonging, around security, at any point in time in your life, how do we know? It depends, because if you as a child were very shy and were forced to play with the other kids, that could have been an extremely traumatic engagement for you. When you were like in family gathering, my family's Puerto Rican, so it's crazy. Because what happens is that even if you're shy, we're gonna make sure that by the end of the night, you're not. Because we wanna help you, because it's just weird as shit for somebody to be quietly standing in a room, right? And so that amount of pressure for folks who are more introverted actually creates a traumatic environment and a traumatic dynamic where anywhere they go, an introvert would feel assaulted. It's incredible the way that feels. It feels like an assault to have so many people pay attention, so many people to notice you. Now, if you have significant events in your developmental stages as a child to your teenage years, which are very formative, right, and matter, that becomes this like fat ass book in your story, right? And whenever you feel the same energetic blueprint in group settings or outside of that, anytime it's the same energetic blueprint, that part of your brain is going to react. So then the primal brain goes into a 5-alarm fire and you have no idea why. Like you start sweating on your lip, you know what I mean? It gets a little weird, sweating behind your ears, which is just weird. I don't understand sweat behind the ears, but anyway, right? Like things happen to you physically, your stomach gets upset. It feels weird. There's this weird thing happening to you. And it's because the energetic blueprint of this particular event or engagement is connecting to that old pattern, that old traumatic feeling of either being powerless or being forced or overwhelmed. So we have this particular part where we understand. So logic doesn't play in it, which is why it's so harmful to tell yourself you need to grow up or you need to get over it or you need to fill in the blank. Because it has nothing to do with you getting over it. There's something that's hijacking your system, literally pressing a button, sending, right, like hormones through your whole body that there's something going on. We don't understand. We don't even care. There's a tiger, a lion, a bear, a really nasty human in the room, also known as an asshole. Like your whole thing is going berserk because it's responding to this unconscious energy that meets the blueprint of the first times you actually felt this particular way. And I think that if we can have that conversation, then we can understand what are the first things that we need to do for ourselves in order to bring that 5-alarm, like count that 5-alarm fire down. And as it counts down, then we can register emotions. And then we can get to a place like saying, oh, actually, you ready? Actually, I can only be in this environment for half an hour. Because I recognize the impact that it has on me. I get overwhelmed when I'm in large groups. So I'll go hang just for this amount of time because this is actually my cap, right? Your capacity to be in a space where there's so much energy. Or you're gonna say, I'm gonna take a break and go to the bathroom. You're gonna take some deep breaths or you're gonna go outside. You're gonna take your shoes off. You're gonna step into the ground, into the earth. just so that you can reconnect, so that you can reground, and then you come back into the environment if you have to stay there. And what tends to happen for us is that we're not like, we are like, no, well, that sounds great in theory, but it seems interruptive. Well, you have to make a choice. Either you're going to be there in the bubble of overwhelm, which is what happens, and it's shutting you down, like shutting all your systems down, and you're not, you can't be as present as you want to be, or you pause, go ground the energy, and then you can come back and be much more fully present, if that makes sense, right? Because what we're talking about is an energy blueprint that we can't quite name with people pleasing. But what it does is it surrenders all the agency externally. It gives the power away. And the dynamic of it feels so helpless. Until afterward, we notice, we're like, wow, I just said yes to like five things. I'm not even sure if I have that much space in my calendar. Or I just stood silent in an exchange that was very uncomfortable or unhealthy. Because I don't want the person to think, fill in the blank. The minute you do that, I don't want the person to think, know that that language, that's coded language, and that the what's happening there is that the power dynamic just shifted. You are prioritizing and centralizing something and someone else, their ideas, their perceptions, their belief systems, which is really fascinating, over what is actually would be the healthiest engagement for two people to engage in. So we think we're doing people a favor by just, we're not able to be our authentic selves. So guess what? They don't know. They actually don't know that that's something that you struggle with. They actually don't know how much value and power we're giving their thoughts and their beliefs. And they can go on however they are. And I've seen it 1,000 times where you're like, don't you notice that you just swallowed the whole room? And the whole room's like rendered like speechless, right? Because the power dynamics shifted. And no longer is there agency, but there's fear. And the fear is, the fear in your primal brain is extremely logical. Something's gonna happen and we can't leave, so we're just gonna shut down. Something's gonna happen, so we're gonna be resistant. We're gonna fight.